Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
Yay, Tim.
You wrote an article titled, No, There Will Not Be Any Civil War in America.
Yes.
Goodness gracious. What's going on with that title?
Well, it was a response actually to a tweet by King.com where he said, I'm calling it, the conflict between left and right is now so inflamed that we need to start worrying about violence. Can you feel the anger? It's reaching a boiling point. Right.
So he's not just talking about the ordinary, you know, occasional scuffle or shooting or Nazis getting into a fist fight thing. He's talking about something that we haven't seen yet. He's talking about widespread violence or civil war.
Right, yes. The tension levels that are really rising. And look, I understand that. Like, tension levels are really rising in the States right now. But they will never break out into civil war. You can be sure of that.
How can you be so sure of that, Caitlin?
You can be sure of that because the tensions are being artificially inflated by the propaganda machine run by the plutocrats. Now, the plutocrats themselves do not want civil war. Civil war costs them a lot of money. They don't want all of their, you know, their assets being wrecked by, you know, riots and things like that. And for their, like, the working populace to be not working or whatever. You know, there's a whole heap of things that do not go well.
Completely destroy the economy that they built their entire empire on.
Right, they might balkanize the states. You know, and they've been working really hard to use all of the infrastructure.
If that happens and they can't use the military, the whole U.S. military that they is basically a gigantic gun that this plutocracy has been pointing at the world saying, hey, treat the dollar like it's worth this much and act in such and such a way that is beneficial to our interests.
Right. And also, it's really important for them to keep the enemy without of America, outside of America, if they're going to kind of point everyone's hatred. They do like to do that.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense that these world-dominating plutocrats would choose the United States of America specifically as kind of their headquarters, right? It's, you know, it's a good place for industry, and it's got some very easily defended shores, and you can just pour a bunch of money into giving that a really good military and then co-opt the military, co-opt the government that controls the military.
Mm.
And you can do pretty much anything.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful country with a lot of natural resources in and of itself as well.
Right.
So, yeah. There won't be civil war in the US because the propaganda machine is artificially inflating these divisions between, you know, essentially everyone, the 99%, like, to keep everyone looking at each other rather than at them. And that takes a lot of energy and a lot of their input, like, because the stories in and of themselves don't speak to divide and conquer. You know, when you look at what's happening with the, you know, poverty levels rising and people, you know, on the streets, and there's an obvious enemy here, and it ain't each other. You know?
Right. But if you turn on the TV, you get people saying, oh, the MAGA hat is the new Klan hood.
Right.
And the commies and the libtards are taking over. Oh, yes. Political correctness and social justice warriors are the real problem.
That's the problem Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. The pink-haired college campus liberal is your problem, guy.
Yeah, and that's your problem, you know, the disaffected,
yeah,
the Rust Belt, red hat wearing guy.
Yeah, the MAGA hat wearing dude on his front porch. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Not the billionaires hoarding all of the money and controlling the media and the government and manipulating every aspect of your life, exploiting you toward their advantage.
Yep.
While they drop your medicine money as bombs on children overseas.
Yeah. So, yeah, they don't want... they really do need to keep all of that working. And that See, yeah, the tensions are artificially inflated. So, of course...
Right, so they're in control. So they get to decide.
They get to decide that. And look, even if they do, like, their control is busted up and they can't control people by propaganda anymore, then...
Good.
Yeah, well, and also, like, that just means that the propaganda is not going to be working on a divide-and-conquer method anymore. You know, the reason why that will have busted up is because people have actually sort of woken up to who is really running this thing and why you know, life is so shitty and it's not their neighbor who, you know, is doing it tough as well. So...
Yeah, you documented how the wealthy, there's an extensive history of wealthy elites using divide and conquer tactics to keep the poor divided against themselves.
Yeah, there's a video, Tim Wise video.
Oh yeah, y'all should definitely watch that. Check out Caitlin's article and watch that video. It's like 3 minutes long. It's really great. He's such a good orator.
He really, really is. And he just kind of lays it out, you know, how this is being constructed from the ground up to keep eyes off the power structures and keep eyes on each other. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you put yourself in their shoes, if you put yourself in the shoes of a borderline sociopath, as the ones who get to the top generally are, who clawed his way to the top at any expense in order to secure as much money and therefore power and security for himself as he can, to become basically a new kind of king, an oligarch. And you think about, what would that sort of person be afraid of? What would he be worried about? You know, the number one thing that he would worry about is the fact that he's vastly outnumbered by a bunch of heavily armed Americans. I was just reading a little while ago that the tradition of the armory, most armories were not designed to protect from foreign invaders. They were designed for the wealthy to protect themselves against a uprising of the poor.
Oh, wow.
It's always on their mind. They've always got half an eye on what the unwashed masses are doing.
Right, and propaganda is a very important part of that. It used to be religion that would propaganda.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and that's what a major part of religion was. Right, yeah.
It's all about forgiving people, not getting jealous and stuff like that.
Being
and
the meek and the mild and the poor.
Yeah, and looking forward to your reward in heaven.
And render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yes.
Above all.
Yes. So, don't get uppity here, because you'll get it later. Don't worry about it. When you die, oh mate.
It's going to be so great.
So awesome. So, yeah. Anyway, so that was today's.
Right. Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, we're doing a catch-up episode. That's right. So you did the you did one with a picture of Alex Jones on the cover, titled "Social Media Censorship is Vastly More Dangerous Than the Censored Material." Caitlin, what gobbledygook is this? How can anything possibly be more dangerous than Alex Jones?
Well, you might wonder, might you?
But are, like, you some sort of Nazi?
I don't know.
Some sort of Nazi,
look at
Nazi,
that guy.
Nazi?
He looks like a koala bear. I know. Like, you know, he's as they say, they love to use this word, problematic.
Problematic.
He's problematic.
He's very problematic. He brings up a lot of things that are problematic.
I didn't know that word until I got into this gig. It's something American intellectuals like to say a lot. And it's just a one-word debunk, isn't it? It's just like, you know.
Yeah, no, we can't do that. It's problematic.
Yeah, yeah.
No discussing that idea. It's a problematic idea.
Yeah, I've been told so many times that my feminism is problematic. And then they just stop it there. Like, they don't say why. Like.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm making this noise with my face hole.
And so, yeah, you must stop thinking the thing that you're thinking. Well, look, I think this is really important to flesh out for people, that the fact that Alex Jones says some ridiculous things sometimes, and, you know, he could say even dangerous things. If you stop him saying it, that has consequences for a start anyway. It's like there's a thing called the Streisand effect, that if you stop people looking at something, they will go and find it. They will go and seek it out. That's, right. You know, it's a part of human nature to go, why? Why can't I look at that? Right. Yeah, let me have a look. What are you hiding? What are you hiding?
It's like telling the 4-year-old kid, now, don't you dare look in this drawer.
Yeah.
It's the instant you leave the room.
Yeah. So it doesn't work anyway. And it's a very blunt-ended instrument, you know, if you, and also, like, how bad are your ideas that you fear Alex Jones being in the mix? Like, if you can't actually convince someone.
If you can't compete in the marketplace of ideas with Alex Jones, what the fuck is your problem? Yeah. How good could yours be?
Yeah, that's right. So
yeah, but he's actually being targeted by YouTube for censorship. He's got a strike on his account. One of the main InfoWars guys, not Alex Jones, but some other guy, I don't remember his name, was temporarily suspended. And lots of other people that are not even on the right, like our friend Jamal Thomas.
Yeah.
Was
got taken away his live stream privileges.
Because he talked about fucking what was it? He talked about Russiagate, but like it was some MSNBC story.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what they said it was. But at the time, he was also talking to Debbie, saying progressive. And another time.
She's naughty.
She is so naughty. She's such a naughty girl.
She says things you're not supposed to say.
Yeah. So, and she, Claudia Stauber also got her live privileges revoked while she was talking to Debbie. Debbie seems to be like one person.
They really want to shut her up.
They really don't like her at all.
But that was the reason that they gave Jamal was for
yeah, that's the official reason. Yeah.
It could have had something to do with that.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Just putting some dots together. I don't know. I've got me red yarn here and making it all into a thing. But yeah, so yeah, and that's, I mean, this is the problem that you go for someone like Alex Jones. He's extremely divisive and, you know, and he's got that horrible voice. It's very hard to listen to. And you think,
I love it. This is the one thing I like about him. I could fall asleep to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You have to be American, I think, to be.
Really?
It's the most American sound in the world, Alex Jones bellowing. More American than a deep-fried bald eagle.
All right, well, okay, I don't understand that. So that's cultural, that's fine. But, yeah, he's the kind of thin edge of the wedge, isn't he? Because he's...
Yeah, and liberals love making fun of him. If they did end up censoring him, all the hashtag resist people and a lot of lefties as well would be...
Yeah, the Schadenfreude would flow, wouldn't
right,
it?
Right, right.
Yeah. So yeah, he's the obvious first target. Now, but, okay, what happens next? What happens after that? And, like, you know, I also noticed that they tend to target people with much less, you know, without huge audiences, just regular people. On Twitter, they seem to target, like, our readers, but not us, you know?
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot harder to target us because, like, when you got suspended, there was you made a lot of noise about it, and then everyone was screaming about how awful and Facebook is and stuff. But if some asshole with 100 followers gets suspended, it don't make no difference,
right? And it doesn't really
have much of a voice.
Yeah, so that's another kind of strategy. But anyway, they will come after us.
Right. Yeah.
And that
yeah, they already are. Fucking Shane Bauer, you know, he's like he could not get more of a devout empire shill than that Mother Jones prick. And he was screaming for you to be censored alongside Cernovich and Posobiec and Laura Loomer as soon as Medium kicked them off of its platform.
Mm.
So, you know, he's not the only one that wants that. You know, that's the ultimate agenda.
Well, he's just too stupid to shut his mouth for long enough. That's the thing. Like,
well, I think he was. He's going, come on, let's go do the thing. Where he would be the on a battlefield. He would be the soldier saying, "Well, we're gonna come up behind your rear flank tomorrow, and you'll be sorry." Shut up, Joe.
Jesus. He's telegraphing the moves, isn't he? But we know that that's what they're going to do.
They're already doing it. They're already censoring the left. Jamal, Debbie, they get the World Socialist website. It has had their readership slashed by Google algorithms by like 80% or 70% or something ridiculous.
And so it's a bunch of other sites.
Democracy Now!, Counterpunch, our friends.
Consortium News.
Yeah. They were all slashed to ribbons. Ron Paul, Daniel McAdams was saying it's something like 75% or something like that, dip.
Wow.
In the Ron Paul Institute. So they're targeting the anti-war people. Matt Taibbi just put out a great article. I read it. You probably haven't read it yet, huh?
I saw it going around.
You should read it if you get a chance. It's really excellent. And he makes this phenomenal point where he's like, yeah, so they got this Russia thing, and everyone's a Russian agent, but it's just coincidentally, just magically, everyone who is getting targeted with these Russian smears happens to be anti-establishment. They happen to be these people that all the elites were worried about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah. What a coincidence. What a fantastically convenient coincidence.
Right. It's the giant brush that you can paint everyone with.
Right.
They're brilliant. They really are fucking brilliant at this shit.
Been at it a long time.
Yeah. But I think I'm clever, but then they shock me and I'm like, wow, good move.
You can be clever, but can you be a whole century of research and development and billions of dollars being funneled into this psychological weaponry worth of clever?
No, but, you know, I do have billions of years of evolution myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if there's anything that's going to save us, that's going to be it. Just this, just our own anatomy going, ah,
yeah,
I can't take it anymore.
Right. Right, and flipping it over.
And we do have that capacity within us as a species, we've found.
Well, I think we're seeing it. We have people, there are more and more people waking up to it who reject it, like, you know, expelling something from a body, like vomiting back the propaganda as it tries to seep into our cells, so...
Yeah, and it's it pops out to ordinary, like Jimmy Dore, when he was talking to you, he talks about how, like, all he has to do is smoke pot and turn on the TV, and you can just see these fucking eels trying to manipulate him.
That was a fascinating point. I've been thinking about that ever since, because I don't smoke pot, I don't like it, I'm not good with it, but I can see that happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sometimes paranoia is beneficial. Yeah. Sometimes we're a little too trusting about the things we let into our eyes and minds.
Definitely. I think most of it is pure sympathy and projecting our goodness onto other people, and also kind of like this fearful hope that people aren't as evil as they appear to be right now. You kind of gloss over because it's too difficult. Like,
right, yeah. No, if you just let in the publicly available admitted information about what the U.S. empire has done, and you don't compartmentalize away from it at all, if you really, really look at it and let it all in and grok it, as we say, it will make you puke. It is horrific. It is horrifying. It is gut-wrenching. The things that we know for a fact that the people who control America and its allies have been doing.
Yeah, and happily will do and continue to do.
And are currently doing.
Yeah, into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if you really, really let that kind of, let that knowledge in, and it is hard to let in. I think that's part of I find myself trying to dissociate away from from
that Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
You get the Stockholm effect going on.
Yeah, because, you know, like, in some ways you're like, well, what other option do I have? Like, I live in this culture. I live in, this is it. Yeah. You know, where there's no Deus Ex Machina coming down from heaven to save me from this. Or even, like, you know, like, it's not like an abusive marriage where you can hope that a nice guy comes along and saves you or something. Like,
right. It's, yeah. It's, there are no, there are no good world elites.
No, even no.
That are coming to the rescue.
Right.
No.
Like, we do have each other, though.
That's our advantage. That's when one of us starts to get a little Stockholm-y, the other one can step in and go, oh, no, these guys are still assholes. Yeah. Remember, yeah. We hate them. Sorry. Right. Yes. Oh, maybe they're... No!
Yeah.
It's good to have an other of right. some sort. That's why social media is so useful. It's because you can get in contact with a community of other people who lean and say, no, you're not crazy. I know they keep saying you're crazy, but you're not crazy. I see it too.
Can I actually mention just what, like, you know, one of the things that, like, good people tend to do is, you know, they project their goodness on other people. And one of the most common ways of doing that is that they see in the other person a small child who has had some terrible experiences that have damaged them, and now they make bad decisions because they're kind of damaged goods, that sort of thing.
Oh, poor little baby Jeff Bezos. He needs the CIA and the Pentagon to make him feel happy.
Right.
That's why he needs to control the underlying infrastructure of the U.S. economy.
Yeah. See, when you put it like that, it doesn't really work. Right? But no, people do that, like, especially very caring people. Like, you know, they do empathize with, you know, the deeper humanity of everyone. That's all well and good, right? But we are pattern-making machines, each and every one of us. And if one particular human's pattern is to continue to kill people over and over and over again, you have to do something about that. You can't just keep looking for the little child in that person and hoping that somehow will heal them. That's not going to happen.
That's exactly what people did with Hillary Clinton, isn't it?
Yep.
They just gaslighted themselves into finding her innocent little girl.
That little picture of her. Just got a little
mixed up along the way. Well, everyone supported Iraq. Is it, well, the Libya thing? Is it, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know that picture of her as a little girl?
That went around. That was highly circulated.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, little girl. How evil is this little girl? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, she hasn't created a failed state where there is now an open-air slave market.
Yeah. And that's why, like, they don't like her to say anything, because every time she opens her mouth, she continues that pattern.
Right.
Like, she does exactly the same thing that we know her to do, and that's to push towards death as a solution for every fucking problem. You know, just kill people, and it'll be, just kill some more people. Oh, it hasn't fixed itself. Just kill some more people. That's Hillary Clinton. That's right. What she does.
Yeah, that's who she is as a person.
She's the queen of a death cult. Yeah. So... It is who she is as a person. No, see, that's the thing, right? Most people don't want to think about us humans as that being the essence of her humanity. That is who she is as a pattern.
That's true.
And her pattern is extremely pernicious.
And ingrained.
Ingrained.
She's fucking, what, 70? She's not going to change.
She's not going to change. Yeah, it's not malleable. But even also... We can't hang around waiting for her to heal.
Right.
Fuck that shit. Yeah, no.
Reject the death cultists. You don't get to come with. No, we're all sailing into life. You guys go away. You can't ride on our bus.
If you want to heal, do it on your own time. Don't do it as leader of the free world, okay?
Yeah, and don't ask us to cheerlead for your healing when you have no actual intention of or perhaps capacity to do so.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to... Close that door. Maybe they can. But then, look, when you continue that sort of behavior over and over and over again, you can't allow them into positions of power to do that to humans. That's just, have some empathy for the people she's killing.
We got way off topic here. So censorship. Right. Censorship is your point was censorship is way worse.
Way worse than the
stuff that is being censored.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and also, yes. I mean, shouldn't that be self-evident? Censorship is worse than any crappy idea that you can debate away.
You would think it should be, but apparently not, because they target these soft targets like Alex Jones and Mike Cernovich, and then everyone on the left is like, nobody stops to go, hey, wait a minute, they're coming for us next. You guys know that, right? Censorship is not our friend. Never has been.
Never been lefties. A friend of the left. Ever. Not ever. Because the left actually has the medicine and will take down the elite system if allowed to.
Right, because that's what this newfound information sharing technology has given us. It's given us the ability to, you know, democracy, as you noted in the article, the door to that has been totally closed and locked shut to us. There's not actually much political democracy happening in America at all. But there is information democracy. Mm. There is democratized information for now. For a little while, while that door is still open, we have the ability to undermine the propaganda machine, which they use to hold the entire control apparatus together. But they're trying to close the door on that as well. And then what do we have?
Yeah.
We can't coordinate. We can't do anything. We can't talk to each other.
Right.
We can't share ideas and information.
The disruption campaigns will continue. But on the information front, it's kind of, you know, like they do in the Middle East. So I think at some point we're all going to have to start trusting the fact that, yeah, there are stupid people in our midst. Yes, there are really intelligent people in our midst, but the wisdom of our collective is much greater than the little tiny thinky brains of a few selected elite members.
Who happen to be, generally speaking, sociopathic.
Yes. So when liberals say things like, you just can't allow people to talk about, you know, white supremacy or
conspiracy theories.
It's dangerous. You can't allow that. You have to monitor that. That's dangerous talk. Who do they think they're handing the authority of delineating that to be? Like the people who like Mark Zuckerberg who stole the idea for Facebook. He is not a good man. Like, you know, it's there's...
Or Jack Dorsey, who lied about censoring the DNC leaks.
The DNC leaks, yeah. And you are not just saying we don't want... Like, you're saying you want a few individuals to moderate the whole discussion for humankind.
Silicon Valley plutocrats.
Yeah.
With extensive ties to both the political body and the U.S. intelligence community.
Right. They're totally wrapped up in the entire...
Eric Schmidt? Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Fuck on, people.
Yeah. So, yeah, I it is an either-or situation. You either let the whole moderate the content and let all our very messy but very effective ways of shaming and shunning and elevating and magnifying each other's faults and good points and just let the dialogue do its work, or you let a handful of elites decide what we're allowed to talk about.
And ultimately think.
And what we, yeah, what the... Groupthink army want you to think.
Yeah. Who is authorized to speak and who is not. Right. Yeah, we are much wiser, and however, whatever our flaws, the collective is much wiser and more intelligent than the people who are killing us.
Right. Yeah. To me, there's no choice. Like, it's if you're asking me between those two things, that there's really like, well, what the fuck?
Duh.
Yeah, but it's, I don't think people think in those ways.
Yeah, like, who do you think is doing the censorship? Your college campus professor?
Yeah, and there's this handing over to authority, like handing over the responsibility of your authorship to someone else, and who knows?
Yeah, no, I personally have no problem with like violent speech being censored or pornographic content being kept away from children, but that's about it.
Right, and that's really very easy to moderate.
Yeah.
But when you get involved in like what political views, you know, are okay and which ones aren't.
Yeah, and like anything you can't censor for being harassment or conspiracy theory or fake news, you can label Russian propaganda.
Right. In the old catch-all.
And you can censor literally anything.
Anything you like. So, and then we're back to basically watching cable news all the time.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. Noam Chomsky has that great quote, which is the best way to control a populace is to narrow the spectrum of acceptable debate into an extremely narrow field and allow rigorous debate between those two perspectives, which is they're just trying to create MSNBC versus Fox on the internet.
Yeah, well, fuck that.
Which is, they're barely distinguishable. Truthdig just put out an article saying MSNBC are now the greater warmongers than Fox News. And they make a very convincing argument.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you got a poem for us?
I reckon.
Read us a poem.
Okay. Come dusk. Come dusk, a frumpy woman, well past the age of societal worth, emerges from wherever we'd been hiding her to watch the fire imps frolic on the telephone wires. She sits unassumingly, the only way she knows how, and listens to the screech bats awakening. We are always dancing on the grave of the past, she says to no one in particular, in a voice long since punished into hoarseness. They pull you into this world and teach you all their best guesses. And it's like one of those awkward social situations where you're not quite sure what to do with your hands, except it lasts a lot longer, and instead of your hands, it's everything. You get a porridge of words made up by dead men and a jumble of dead ideas, and they toss them into a pink Barbie doll lunchbox and say, "Here, pretend to be a person." And maybe one day, if you're lucky, after they've squeezed you for all the sex and children you're worth, maybe you catch a breath and you learn to feel your feet on the floor and to listen to the screech bats and to smile and nod as the mind tells its stories without believing a word of it. Time becomes a fairy tale you indulge like a child telling you about Santa. And ideas become like tools you can pick up when needed and set down when you're through. Life happens like the growing of the weeds and the silent explosions of the stars, and you are launched by each dying moment into a new dying moment, as naked and stupid as the day you were born. She kicks off her shoes and puts up her feet and lights the biggest cigar you've ever seen. Yes, she says, we are all dancing on the grave of the past. A bright white disc silently appears over the trees and shines a blue cone of light upon her. Well, it's about fucking time, she mumbles, cigar smoke wafting from her mouth.
Caitlin is an entirely reader and listener-supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon or PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, or on CaitlinJohnston.com. You can get on her mailing list and get an email whenever she writes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that. Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love your girlfriend.